In our study last week, we got about halfway through this prayer. And I always enjoy going through these. It gives me an opportunity to do a checkoff list, to look at these things, to see how well I'm doing with them. I've been studying these and teaching these things for years. And for me, it's just kind of a, okay, let's see where we're at and what areas we need to work on. And so as we read through the prayer, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. As I pointed out last week, why would we ask God to do something that it's our responsibility to do? And of course, the obvious answer is God's providence. Through providence, God can help us in a lot of ways. He can give us opportunities. He can chasten us. Bad things can happen to us at a pivotal moment in our life, like Job or like many of the other people, where we have an opportunity to be filled with the knowledge of His will. So we ask, or Paul prays, that they would be filled with the knowledge of His will. And I think we should pray, not only that we individually will, but that the congregation here and all Christians will. The knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's my hope as we read through this, that you're remembering certain things that we've talked about, or that you're remembering and thinking about, yeah, I've made a commitment here, or I need to work on this a little bit more. But let's look at this prayer again from the perspective of two points: our mind and our actions, our spirit and our deeds. So he asks for the mind, that's the purple color, although I don't know what color it looks like there. I guess it looks white. It's supposed to be light purple. In mind and spirit, filled with the knowledge of His will. Right? That's a mindset. That's a decision that we make. I have a sermon I preach from time to time called A Clash of Wills. Something we see with a parent and a child who has decided he will no longer submit to his parent's rule. And every once in a while, our lusts and our sinful desires reach a level where we have a clash with God. We have a clash of wills. Now, the more we know about God's will, and maybe more importantly, the more we understand about why it's God's will, we will humble ourselves, submit ourselves, and recognize this is the best way. And so we need to be filled with the knowledge of His will so we can find where His will and our will clash. My emotions are based on the heredity environment of how I was raised in this world. And they're not always in alignment with the will of God. And so sometimes, as Paul said in Romans chapter 12, we have to stop being conformed to this world and be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might put to the test and prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. So, filled with the knowledge of His will. We should be praying for that. We should be wanting that. One of our prayers should be, Father, I can see in my life areas where Your will and my will are not in alignment. We have a song in our songbook, May Thy Will and Mine Be One. Filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It goes deeper than knowledge. We need wisdom. We need spiritual understanding. And specifically in those areas where we just haven't got it yet. You know, as I've read through the scriptures for years, I read through the lists of sins, and I find that most of them, I have much spiritual wisdom and understanding because I've never opened those doors and I have no interest in God's will and my will are in perfect harmony. But those areas where they're not in perfect harmony, we need wisdom. We need spiritual understanding. Brethren, until we can see it the way God sees it, the battle with temptation is going to be much more difficult. But when we can do what Jesus did with Satan, when Satan says, command these stones to become bread, Jesus doesn't let it get out of control. He simply says, God's will is, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So Jesus had wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you may walk. So now we move to deeds. These are thoughts. These are the inner decisions that we make that come out in our personal life. So if you want to walk worthy of the Lord, you have to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, and you have to be in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Walking worthy of the Lord means fully pleasing Him. Now, obviously, if God says, I want you to do this, and He watches me bring my will under His, He's going to be fully pleased. That's how we are fully pleasing Him. When we show enough faith to say, my heart, my mind, my thoughts, my emotions are not lined up with this, but you're right, Father, and I'm going to fight for the rest of my life to walk worthy, to fully please, and to be fruitful in every good work. Now, this is the second side of it. We've been talking about the sins of commission, the sins that we commit. What about the sins of omission? How many things are we still not doing that we should be doing? How many things does God expect of us regarding our desire and need to do good works, regarding our desire and need to be hospitable, regarding our desire and responsibility to help edify brethren and to work with them? Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, verse 11 is, we covered it a little bit, but I want to pick up with that as we begin our lesson this evening. And so we need to be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Now, let's look at that a little more deeply. I'm not going to read the verses we talked about last week, but I do want to look at a couple of the verses. One is, to Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that does work in us. This is not the power of God in the creation. It's not the power of God in miracles. It's not the power of God except in one area. The power that works within us. Now, He said this almost identical same thing in chapter 1 when He prayed for the first prayer for the Ephesians. And there, He made it clear that we need to know the exceeding greatness of His power that works in us. And then He gives the example of which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and put Him far above all authority and power and dominion. That's the power of God that works in us. Now, let's hold that in the back of our mind and let's look at the next one. Well, there it is. I guess I forgot that was in there. The exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. And then Paul's application, I can do all things in Him that strengthens me. Now, we may not know how, we may not know when, but we do know He's there providentially and maybe even from time to time actually intervening. Now, can you say when that happens? I can't say it, but I know this. He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What does that mean to us, brethren? Doesn't that mean that when we get into tight spots, we know God's going to be there with us? And that if He needs to intervene and act in any way, even if it's just to collect our spirit and bring it to paradise after we are put to death, He's there. We don't have to be terrified. Let me finish this thought, okay? So, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now, the question that I have there, can you boldly say that? Can you be like David? I don't have a problem going before Goliath. Because the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before that fiery furnace. Or Daniel before the lion's den. Now, you and I will never be in situations like that. But we need to have that confidence. We need to be able to boldly say, with full assurance, the Lord is my helper. I don't have to be afraid because man cannot do anything to me. Remember what Jesus said about that? Fear not those who can kill the body, but after that there's nothing more they can do. But I will tell you whom you fear. Fear him who, after he kills the body, is able to cast the soul into hell. I say to you again, fear him. Now, we don't have to be afraid if God is with us. As Paul said in Romans chapter 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? There's no power greater than God's. And God has promised his people, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we have to make the decision. What has that done for me? Strengthened with all might? Confident? If we're praying for what Paul prayed, then we can say that. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Patience and long-suffering are the fruits of the Lord is my helper. I don't have to be afraid. I can endure whatever has to happen because the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? Now, we've seen that over and over and over again. We see it in the life of Abraham. Even though Abraham never was suffering persecution, he had some difficult situations that he had to get through. He had to leave his country and go to a new country. But the Lord is my helper. I won't be afraid. What can man do to me? He had to wait for that promise. And then he had to offer his son up as a sacrifice. But he was able to do that. And Moses did not fear the wrath of the king because he looked to the recompense of reward. Now, if Moses can do that, and Abraham can do that, and David can do it, and Daniel can do it, and of course Jesus did it, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Father, into thy hands I commend thy spirit. So the word for here, though, is important. So I put a graphic here. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. And then that arrow underneath, that's the for. For the purpose of all patience and long suffering. Now, look at that again, because this is important. This is going to be really the basis for the rest of the lesson. My patience and long-suffering. And how much I understand about that? Well, we'll look into that in a minute, whether we really understand the difference between long-suffering and patience. But it's all based on the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for the purpose of bringing you and I to patience, and all long-suffering. Now, patience has to do with things, and long-suffering has to do with people. And some of us are struggling with things, bad health, difficult circumstances, financial issues. We also face persecutions and tribulations. We need to patiently endure them, but we also have to feel long-suffering toward the people who are doing it. It's what we were talking about this morning. When we have that desire to make railing accusations, we hold back. We do not form opinions or judgments. The Lord rebuke you. Even Michael the archangel, talking to the devil, would not bring a railing accusation against Satan, who was trying to take Moses' body for some purpose, and Michael wasn't going to let him. But he said, the Lord rebuke you. The purpose of my confidence in power and God's power and might, let's go back and look at that again. He himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is the basis for all patience and all long-suffering. When we finally grasp that, when we finally understand that God's going to deal with this. You know, I was thinking about that a lot in the Lord's Supper this morning. I was thinking about the complete injustice of what they did to him. And how difficult it would be to know that these enemies were wrong, but for the moment, they're going to win. He knows they're going to win. They're going to put him to death. They're going to gloat. They're going to feel great about it. Every time that whip hits his back, they're just cheering him on. And he has to endure that. How could he do that? strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering. He could turn the other cheek. He'd go the second mile because he knew God's going to take care of this. I don't have to be involved in it. I don't have to get angry. I don't have to get discouraged. God is going to take care of it. And brethren, we haven't needed a lot of this up to this point in our life. I've been hearing this prayer for years. Father, we thank you that we can worship you without fear. Prince doesn't feel that way. We may not feel that way forever, but we haven't really needed patience. Now, minor patience, yeah, we needed to learn how to be patient under difficult circumstances, but not like what these people were doing. I mean, you read that passage in Hebrews. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins in the caves of the earth. They were beaten. They were sawn asunder. He just goes on and on. And we've been really blessed that we don't live in that kind of an environment. But if we did, we could be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. See, it's not me, it's not you. We can't do this. As Paul went from persecution to persecution, as he went from jail to jail, as he went from beating to beating to being stoned, after a while, I think I'd have said, hey, I think it's time for retirement here. I think I've had one too many beatings. But he never did that because he was strengthened with might according to his glorious power. So strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. He boldly said, Jesus boldly said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego boldly said, we're not going to bow down to your idol. And our God has the power to deliver us. But if not, let it be known to you, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we will not submit. Of course, he became furious. And all the people who threw the people into the fire burned up. But not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So, strengthened with all might in relationship or upon the basis of his glorious power brings about all patience and long suffering. I'm not going to bother with the technical thing there. But patience and long-suffering. Two critical words. These are two vocabulary words, brethren, that we really need to become aware of. Like I said, we haven't had a lot of need, but I think those times are shifting dramatically. So let's just take a quick look at a couple of these things. And I've already talked about all these people, so let's just look at that last definition. The word patience, and again, it's with things, not people. This is with things. To remain, to abide, to persevere, to endure bravely, bear bravely, and calmly. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's exactly what Paul was saying in this prayer. Strengthened with might, according to his mighty power. I'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death because your rod and your strength and your staff, your mighty power, they comfort me. And so David could remain. He could go before Goliath. And his knees could hold him up. I think my knees be shaking so much I'd probably fall over. But David, and he didn't have his example. I mean, at least we have his example. If we ever put ourselves in a situation, we go, well, God did it for him. I'm going through this. I'm not going to cave in. And like I said earlier, the circumstances are often interesting. Somebody says, if you don't renounce Jesus Christ, here's what's going to happen to you, and now we need patience. We need to endure bravely, bear bravely, and calmly. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. But he gave himself into the hands of him who could save him. So the word patience means steadfastness. I don't want to do this anymore, but I'm going to do it. That's steadfastness. It's not steadfastness until you get to the point where you don't want to do it anymore. When we're so excited about something, a new hobby or a new occupation or even becoming a Christian, and we're just so excited about it, we don't need any steadfastness and constancy and endurance. It's when the going gets tough, then we need it. Patient, steadfast, enduring. This was the patience of Job. And I'm not saying that. James will say it. We'll read it in just a few moments. And it was also the patience of Jesus. So again, we need patience when we just don't feel like doing this anymore. Have you ever gotten that part to that point as a Christian where you're just, boy, what's the use? I'm not going to make it. Why is God asking for such hard things? Or it'd just be easier to give up. Or maybe God would be better off without me. I don't know if you've ever thought those things or not. I hope you haven't. Some people have. Here's what the Hebrew writer said. Cast not away therefore your boldness, which has great recompense and reward. For you have need of patience, that having done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And this is after, in chapter 6, he said, God, wanting to show the immutability of his counsel, swore with an oath. You can receive that promise. But we need patience. Now, here's just a few uses of it in the scriptures, just to give you an idea. Knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. Like I say, before your faith is tried, you don't need patience. Life is sunny. Life is wonderful. We are looking at blessings. This is easy. But then something happens. And now we need patience because of the trying of our faith. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Paul puts it a little differently in Romans. He says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations work patience. You can't get patience without tribulation. You don't need it. It's when we get into a bind where we don't know what to do, we don't know where to go, and the only thing we can do is just say, Lord, I don't know what to do, I don't know where to go, I don't know how to get through this, but I'm not giving up. I'm just going to go hour by hour, day by day, but I'm going to stay faithful to you, come what may. Tribulations work patience, and patience works experience, and experience, or provenness, works hope. They which are sown on good ground are they which an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now remember what that's after. That's after the hard heart where the seed can't get in. That's after the thorn or the rocky heart where the seed gets in, but tribulation and persecutions and he falls. Or the thorny heart where the cares of the world, the desires for other things and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. We will need patience. I don't know which one of those we're going to have to deal with. I don't know how many rocks are in my heart. I don't know how many thorns are there. But as we live our life, we find them. And when we start seeing ourselves not as zealous as we used to be, not as faithful as we used to be, not as excited as we used to be, we need patience. I'm not going to quit. I don't feel like it right now. It's a burden to even pick up my foot. It's a trial, it's a tribulation. I'm not going to quit. That's patience. To them that by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality. That's what we're seeking for. And that's what God's power behind us. The understanding of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The understanding of David with Goliath, the understanding of Daniel going into the lion's den, the understanding of Jesus, who for the joy that was put before him, patiently endured the cross. Now, that's our heritage. That's in the back of our mind. I know what God can do, and I know that he will be able to get us through this, just like he did Job. Whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. We need to learn about Abel. We need to learn about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. I'm not the first person that's been through these things. I can find somebody in the Old Testament who's struggling with the very things I'm struggling with. And they got through it. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father. Now remember, things, people, things. These are outside circumstances. Like I said, poor health, the country falls, we see criminals in the neighborhood, we have problems and difficulties and trials, we lose things. We've already seen that verse. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Those people who were stoned, those people who were sawn asunder, those people who went about in sheepskins and goatskins and afflicted and ill-treated, they're our cloud of witnesses. God got them through it. You say, well, he got them through it by the skin of their teeth. Well, it doesn't matter. He got them through it. Well, I'd like to have seen a little more. I'd rather have had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego than I would this guy who gets sawn asunder. Well, we don't know what our situation is going to be. But we're compassed about by a great cloud of witnesses, and whatever our circumstances are, we can lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us and run with patience the race that is set before us. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And then, of course, 2 Peter 1, we add to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, or temperance, to temperance, patience, to patience, godliness. So we come back to our chart here. The strength of God's glorious power is behind you and behind me. We're Christians. God is for us. Who can be against us? I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Why not? Because the power of God. God could raise Jesus from the dead. That's why Jesus could be patient. I can get through this. I just got to get through another few hours. Then God's going to take over. And this promise, remember he said, I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to take it up again. This promise I have from my Father. He knew they couldn't win. There was a temporary setback. That's why it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for the purpose of patience and now long-suffering. So long-suffering is a little different. Let me just read this definition. Well, yeah, let me just read it. To be of long spirit, not to lose heart. To be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others. To be mild and slow in avenging. Like I said, it's long suffering that gives us the power to turn the other cheek, to go the second mile, to rather be wronged, to be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others. Forbearance, patience, long-suffering. But Trench, I think, really helps us see the distinction between these two words. So let me just read this entire definition. We may proceed now to distinguish between these. And this distinction, I believe, will hold good wherever the words occur. Namely, makrothumia will be found to express patience in respect of persons. Hupomone in respect of things. The man with makrothume, who having to do with injurious persons, does not suffer himself easily to be provoked by them or to blaze up into anger. The man hupomone is under a great siege of trials, bears up, does not lose heart or courage. God is never in need of patience. He's never in need. No things can ever put him in a position where he has to bear with. The only thing that's spoken of about God is how he puts up with people. Despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? God had to watch them kill his son. It took long-suffering. Like I said, he had a long-term plan. And we'll see that in 2 Peter 3, where it says, God is not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering toward all, not willing for any to perish. So while everybody's waiting for God to destroy Paul or Saul of Tarsus, God's being long-suffering because he's not going to kill him. He's going to convert him. His patience will be rewarded. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? You know, Pharaoh, what a man of hubris, what a man of just absolute stubborn rebellion and pride. God tolerated it because he wanted people to see, starting with the water into blood and ending up with the death of the firstborn, and then finally, we don't usually consider it, but it's actually, we could call it the 11th plague. The Red Sea covered the entire Egyptian army, and every man in that army drowned. They were dead. The only thing left in Egypt now are the women and the infirm and the children. God completely destroyed them. But in the meantime, he showed long suffering. Now, for us, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering. For some people, this is easy. You know, the type B personality, but the type A personality, there's a constant clash of wills here. God says, when somebody does something mean to you, you just absorb it. And you don't respond with anger. You don't respond with retaliation or vengeance. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. If you have it, it's because the Holy Spirit has given it to you. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering. Now again, people. Well, why will God's power help me to be more long-suffering for people? Because I know, ultimately, they're going to receive what they've done. God is not going to let anybody get away with it. I don't have to get involved in this matter. This is between God and them. If he can convert them and bring them to eternal life, you know, sometimes I'll think this. I get really mad at somebody and I'll say to myself, you want them to spend eternity in hell for what they just did to you? Is that what you want? Would you like to see this person burning in hell, in agony, throughout all eternity because he just did this to me? You know what my answer is? Absolutely not. I don't want that. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. So I'm going to leave it to God. But if we jump in between, and here we are, supposedly a Christian, and now we've turned somebody away from the Lord forever because old members of the Church of Christ, boy, they're a bunch of hypocrites. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to eternal life. Paul said, I was a blasphemer. I was injurious. I was filled with hubris and arrogance. I voted to put these people to death. I went after them to throw them into prison. And all the while, I was wrong. And God was long-suffering. And now he tells us why. If Jesus could do that for Paul, Paul decided he could do it for everyone else. And that's why he was able to tolerate what those Jews did to him and what he was able to deal with. Preach the word. Be it sent in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. I've found brethren to be very intolerable at times. Sometimes The worst people to persecute you are your own brethren, especially if you preach a sermon that gets under their skin. And like I said this morning, sometimes you do one thing and they never let it go. That's who you are for the rest of your life. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience, now this again is long-suffering, inherit the promises. Now I can see that time's getting away from us. I do want to hit on this one in 2 Peter 3. No, I don't want either one of those. Let me see. The other one's there. No, it's not. I'm just going to refer to it then. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Paul says the Lord is not slack, or excuse me, Peter says the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering. He puts up with a lot. And he expects us to put up with a lot. You might want the Lord to just come back right now and get us out of all this trouble that might be coming. But maybe there's 1,000 or 1,000,000 people left to be converted. Can we go through severe persecutions and trials in hope that God will ultimately save more people? That's what the power of God behind us. That's why God's power, when we're strengthened with the might of God's power, we can be patient and long-suffering because we know, ultimately, God will prevail and we will prevail with Him. And so we can tolerate all the abuses and misuses and all the things because we want to be part of the solution, never part of the problem. So then, I just put this in here because I want you to see the very last part of verse 11. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. I will not fear, the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? Where's joy? With joy. So these are not onerous or difficult things. They're blessings. It's a blessing to be called in to the same role that Jesus had. That's what Paul told the Philippians. He said, to fill up in my body that which is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Now, Paul wasn't saying that the sufferings of Christ were not enough to forgive him, but his own sufferings might bring one more soul to the Lord that wouldn't happen. We should feel great joy. And we should realize how important this is. And so, brethren, the prayer has come to an end. I hope that these thoughts are helpful to you. I think that all of us need to give careful thought to this. As I say, we haven't needed as much patience as many previous generations have needed. To watch Nebuchadnezzar come in and destroy the temple and kill literally hundreds of thousands of people. To watch the Germans do that. What's coming tomorrow? I don't know. But with the might of God's power, we can have the patience with the things that we have to deal with and the long-suffering with the people we have to deal with. Because God will prevail. As we open our songs of encouragement now to number 325, if there's anyone in the audience who has been touched by this lesson in any way, feels like there's something they need to do. Something they need to do to make things right with God. Something they need to do to become a Christian. We stand ready to help you. And we encourage you to act on whatever feelings you have and repent in whatever way you need to. And if we can help in any way, please let us know while we stand and sing.